You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Won't you guess my name?
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man. Behind the glass today is our man, Brian. He goes by the name of Sam Tarly because he looks like Sam Tarly from Game of Thrones. Bo Morgan producing the show. Mike Bell, man, I'll tell you, it's crazy to see all this stuff going on in and around college football. You heard John Michaels just talk about it. Tate Martell, who was the kid that allegedly thought he was going to be the starter at Ohio State.
Right.
And with Georgia's Justin Fields, formerly of Georgia, now Ohio State's Justin Fields, transferring. You know, this is just the kind of thing that's going on around college football. But the other big thing that we've got to get to is the notion that Kyler Murray is leaning towards the NFL draft. Now, again, if you don't know the history, Murray wins the Heisman Trophy a year after Baker Mayfield wins it at Oklahoma. But for those who've never seen Kyler Murray, all right, for whatever reason, he's small, smallish, okay? And there's this thing called Major League Baseball, and he's a pretty good baseball player. In fact, so good, the A's drafted him already.
Right.
And he's set to make about $4.6 million, okay? If he chooses the NFL, he's going to have to give that money back. And some people are going, whoa, that's crazy. Baseball's safe. Mike, what do you think about this? Because Kyler Murray just basically came out and said, yeah, I'm leaning that way. And everybody's losing their mind because they think the kid's making the wrong decision by just saying that he may go to the NFL.
I mean, the height thing I think sometimes is overrated. I mean, Drew Brees is barely 6 feet. I know Mike Vick was barely 6 feet. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I think if you can move, you can get around and certainly get over the offensive lineman or the defensive lineman pursuing you and putting their hands up to make throws and find alleys. You know, the NFL gets hung up on size, and there's a reason for that, too, because you see a guy like Trubisky at 6'4", has got a cannon. They also like that style of quarterback, too. But the world is his oyster. I mean, it's just tough for an NFL team because how high would you take him? Baseball, as you said, all the money is guaranteed. But then again, he could get to the minor leagues and find out he doesn't have the aptitude for it. You know, so, I mean, you do have a lot of options, though, and if I was him, I would explore all of them.
Yeah, listen, I think that is what this is about. I don't know if he is seriously like, that's where my heart is. And if it is, I want you to understand something. Kyler Murray, if he is a first-round pick, and especially a top first-round pick, he's immediately going to make way more money than what he's going to make with the Oakland A's initially. Now, baseball, if you think it's safe, it's fine, but you still got to get to the bigs.
Right.
And that can take 4 or 5 years. So, yes, if I gave you $4 million now and said in 5 years you might have a shot at the big leagues, or if I said go to the NFL and get a signing bonus upwards of, let's just say, $10 to $15 million. And, Mike, all of a sudden now you become a star and your endorsements, you look at the quarterback position because that's what he is, they make more money than anybody. You can be a buster in the NFL and make a $150 million career.
Let me ask a stupid question. If you go leave the football team but you're just playing baseball, don't you still have eligibility for football? I mean, call me crazy. Squid will have to look that up online because, you know, for years, and we've seen this, you've got the next quarterback at Auburn was a baseball player who didn't make it in the minors for the Phillies. You had Chris Winkie. You know, he came in his mid-20s to FSU because usually it goes the other way. Quincy Carter, you know, back in the day had tried baseball before he got to Georgia, you know, through the minor league. So, yeah, but I'd be curious, that, you know, if you could kick the tires on the baseball career and then come back to football. It may sound a bit silly. Right now, though, he is certainly a guy that – where would you project him? If he's going to commit to football and you as a general manager know he's going to be a football guy. Top 15?
Absolutely. Here's the deal. He is very similar in this from the standpoint of Baker Mayfield, Mike. He's a winner. Kid wins, and he can make all the throws. And I know his team got humiliated, and, you know, you talk about the semifinal game, But you can't define guys solely on that. If that was the case, Baker Mayfield wouldn't have went number one because, well, Georgia beat him. You've got to look at what these kids offer. I want you to hear the new head coach, all right, ironically, of the Arizona Cardinals. His name's Cliff Kingsbury. You know who has the number one pick right now?
Ooh.
The Arizona Cardinals. Listen to what Cliff Kingsbury said about Kyler Murray.
Kyler is, I mean, he's a freak, man. Purdy's a really good young player, and he's going to be a tremendous player, but Kyler is a freak, and I've followed him since he was a sophomore in high school, and just think the world of him and what he can do on a football field, and I've never seen one better in high school, and he's starting to show it now at the college level, and I mean, I don't have enough good things to say about him. He's phenomenal. I've never seen him have a poor outing, not one, which at quarterbacks, it's impossible to do, but he's done it. And I don't know, I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
Well, we know how the coach feels. Holy moly. I mean, there's as ringing an endorsement as I've ever heard. By the way, can we just quick sidebar it on Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, what's up?
You know, I said, you know, this guy never won any, you know, big games when he was at Texas Tech. He's under 500. Didn't do anything at USC. Wasn't even there before he gets a job at Arizona. What's this guy done? He's now on the top of my list. You know, he's dating Holly Saunders. Take a minute.
I told you.
Holly Saunders is real quick. I mean, and this is not to be gratuitous because I know women get upset when you say how beautiful a woman is and you feel like you're objectifying. She's talented on television. Very good job. Very good at every job she's ever done. But I got a chance to see her. And Bo, Squidbilly Morgan, and I were at Sparks Steakhouse in New York at the Super Bowl when she walked in with that piece of Eric Cassilius, her former husband. And everybody in the room was like, I can't believe she's with that guy.
Which doesn't necessarily mean it's a ringing endorsement for Cliff Kingsbury because she has a questionable dating record, and he could be questionable because of this now.
No. She's a knockout. He's 39, and he's taking a page out of Derek Jeter's playbook. All you guys who just jump immediately into marriage, go have some fun. Back to you, Carl. Back to sports.
Listen, I told Mike this the other day. We were talking about Cliff because I've known him for a long time. I told Mike, I said, because
Strong game.
I said, he's single. He's been single. So that doesn't surprise me, but good point, Mike Bell.
I'm like, you got a job in the NFL and you haven't really done bupkis in college and you're dating Holly Saunders. My God, man, what a summer. What a year.
So with Cliff saying what he just said about Kyler Murray, now everybody's going, uh-oh. Because remember, they just chose Josh Rosen last year. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but if one coach in the NFL believes that that's his value, Mike, you're going to have other teams now thinking, well, we don't want to miss out on this guy. Maybe he is the next big thing. This is not a great quarterback class either.
I mean, but things you had Josh Rosen, you took him top 10. You could have had Minkah Fitzpatrick. You could have had Darren Payne or Vita Vea or, you know, Derwin James, all these guys. You wanted to go get your next quarterback, and you thought that was the guy? I mean, look, I mean, if the general manager can ride that out and take the hit, if you think that Kyler Murray is all the things that Cliff Kingsbury said, then you go ahead and you roll with it, and you try to find somebody out there that may be dumb enough to trade for Josh Rosen if they think he has a future in the NFL. It's only 1 year. Nobody looked worse than Goff in his rookie season, but we saw Josh Rosen look absolutely – I mean, the good, the bad, and the ugly in the game that we saw. Hit a bomb, remember that? The beautiful throw. He had about 50 yards in the air, but also looked like a lost puppy at times.
So what do you guys think? Think the kid's making a mistake?
What would you do?
I'm going to the NFL. As a quarterback, I'm going to the NFL. Let me tell you why. I just want to put this in perspective. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Text us 404-741-0929. You can find us across all social media platforms, like the radio station on Facebook if you've not done so, Instagram, of course, and at Twitter, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. You sign in the NFL, and after 3 or 4 seasons, depending on where you're drafted, you're going to get a new deal. Guys like Mark Sanchez has made over $74 million in the NFL. Matt Castle, $65 million. Ryan Fitzpatrick, $58 million. What I'm telling you is that the potential to make money at that position where you don't get banged up, you're not, you know, hitting guys every play, the longevity, as a matter of fact, in the NFL for quarterbacks is extending. So if you think, well, he's making a mistake because he can go play Major League Baseball for 20 years, you can play in the NFL for 10 now as a quarterback and walk away.
And you'll make more money as a starting quarterback and endorsements in the NFL than you would as a starting shortstop for the Oakland A's.
Absolutely.
You know. So there's one way to look at it. I don't get hung up on the height thing with quarterback. I mean, some guys will make that a thing at the combine, but I think if you're him, you definitely see it through the process. and you see if a team, you know, does fall in love with you. Cliff Kingsbury just gave his ringing an endorsement you've ever heard before the draft even kicked off, right?
Yeah.
By a head coach for a team that's picking first overall.
And Bo Morgan was saying this, you know, for those who don't remember, obviously he was drafted, or should I say he's from Texas, and he was being recruited by Kingsbury at the time. And he originally went to A&M and then transferred. But he was the Gatorade Player of the Year. He was Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago, Mike. This kid is special. So I just don't know what he's going to do, but people were going crazy today when they heard this because everybody thinks the safe play. Don't be safe. Go with what your heart is. What if it's football? Great. Yeah. But at that position, he can make a lot of money.
Right. At the end game, you could actually argue that there's actually even more money to be made. But again, if you become, you know, is he a power hitter? No, he's more of a he's a doubles hitter, right? He's a great fielding shortstop, second baseman,
steal bases.
Yeah, I mean,
great fielder.
But I mean, what's the ceiling for that? Versus the ceiling for a star quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, if you turn into be Altuve, okay.
Right. I mean, if you're Altuve or Ryan Sandberg, you're going to get paid.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's different. But there are a lot of guys that are not that.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we got a guy on our team that's
Don't
not
you
that.
Bring Dansby into this home
run. I'm just saying.
Home runs and batting average are overrated, Carl.
It is Dukes and Bell, man. We got plenty to get to. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Falcons and what they have done today, if you've not heard. There are some things fundamentally that we said after the season we'd like to see. We didn't know what the hires were going to be when it came to the offensive coordinator or the special teams coordinator. All those positions have been filled, and we've been talking about it over the last couple of days. But there was something else that we specifically said that the Falcons needed to do. And by doing it, it tells me that Dan Quinn's listening. Now, I'm not saying he's listening to us.
He is.
I'm saying he's just listening generally to what people are saying about Mike. We have an issue with this, and we need help with it. So I'm happy to see that the Falcons did that. Also, some questionable hires in the NFL, including what the Jets are doing. We've been going around the league talking about all these guys getting hired.
Right.
The Jets make a curious decision?
It's an uncompelling hire. I mean, Mike McCarthy, we'll talk more about it in the NFL Blitz, but the general manager is riding shotgun up in New York, and he's basically now even thinking of bringing Greg Williams in as a defensive coordinator, who just left to control the defense might not be the worst, you know, argument. But two personalities. Gase has got an abrasive personality. That was a knock on him down in Miami. He ran off some of the veterans. Some of the guys thought he was full of crap. He got them off the team, and the team never went back to the playoffs. So, you know, we'll see. It's a long string of very bad decisions the Jets have made ever since Joe Namath retired. But that's a Jets fan's problem. I got all my buddies from high school calling me up. What's up with Gase? I'm like, it's not good. You know, McCarthy would have been the better call, but McCarthy obviously wants to have a lot more say in the equation than they were prepared to give.
All right, let me ask you this, and we'll talk about this when we come back. You like Thomas Davis?
Yes. I know where you're going with this. Yes, I love him in a Falcons locker room. Yes.
You would?
Yeah, he's a leader. He's a tough guy, plays with pain. He's an hombre. I don't care if he's got nothing left in the tank. That's a good dude to have in the locker room.
Yeah, he is. He's 35 years old. Thomas Davis, dog. Has announced that the Panthers are not going to re-sign him. We'll get more into this coming up. And Bo Morgan, who is coming on at 2:40?
Well, we're going to have Bruce Feldman join us, Fox Sports, the college football writer, to talk about Tate Martell, Kyler Murray, all these craziness that's going on with college football.
Bunch of guys are hitting me up on the text line saying, hey, man, wouldn't this be something if Georgia Tech could get in the mix? It's a shame for Jeff Collins. They're just not established yet. If Georgia Tech had a few years under his belt with this offense, and maybe you'd get some of these big-time transfers, Carl, it's just tough because you're putting a whole thing together basically from scratch because you had to go off of the base offense of Paul Johnson.
Yeah, it's a great point. And the uncertainty may be hurting them.
Right. I mean, down the road, if he gets it cooking, for sure. But right now, too much of an unknown entity.
Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Grave, G-R-A-V-E, Grave. Text it to 72881 right now for your chance to win. Guys, don't text and drive. Message and data rates do apply. It's our national signing bonus contest. For full details and rules, go to 92.9thegame.com.
What's the word again?
Grave.
Grave? Is it a grave situation?
It could be. Hey, coming up, we'll get into all of the things we just talked about, including some headlines next. Bruce Feldman's going to join us coming up here in about 20 minutes. Reporter, Fox, FS1. He's also with The Athletic. We'll talk to him about all this college football news that's been hitting today. Don't you find it funny, though, that the Tate Martell story, because he was like talking noise about Justin Fields, and now he's in the portal.
Yeah.
I find it funny.
You want to welcome your new teammate to Columbus? No. Okay, tough guy. I mean, now you're going to be that Gunnar Kiel guy. You don't want to be that guy that looks like, you know, you should be an extra in Karate Kid, maybe one of the members of Cobra Kai. And then, you know, you just back out of competition and you roll. But, I mean, Fields is the man.
Yeah,
I mean,
Johnny!
Sweep the leg, Johnny. Yeah, get him a body bag! But, I mean, people will look at this. We have Georgia fans that go, huh, Fields wouldn't compete. And now people at Ohio State, huh, Tate wouldn't compete.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Well, I mean, as I said, I mean, it's the way the cookie crumbles now. I mean, if you feel that you've got the talent to get to the NFL, you've got to be able to you got 4 years to showcase that, five with the red shirt. Some cases with the transfer, obviously you're tacking on more time, but you got a finite amount of time to get with the right program and show you can do this if that's your dream.
It is. More about that coming up with Bruce here in less than 20 minutes here on Dukes and Bell. Appreciate the comments on Kyler Murray. We'll get back to that story as well. Real quick, you said you'd take Thomas Davis in our locker room, even at age 35, as he announced Wednesday night on a video on social media that the Panthers basically informed him they're going to move on. They are not going to re-sign him. He's been an integral part of their defense, obviously. Luke Kuechly's the guy.
Right.
But Thomas Davis has also been a big part of what they've done, including their Super Bowl run a couple of years ago. So, you know, I just think when you look at his numbers and what he means to a franchise, he's the team's all-time leading tackler. He's got over 1,200 tackles, according to the Carolina official, you know, PR staff. But either way, man, he's officially listed with over 1,000 tackles, all-time leading tackler, as I mentioned. So he makes plays. Thomas Davis, the only thing I would be concerned about, Mike, is the age. You're talking about a 35-year-old guy. What are you asking him to do? But from the character and leadership standpoint, I'm totally on point with what you're saying.
Yeah, man. The guy, I mean, he's a great guy. We've had a chance to get to know Thomas around Georgia. And even though he's an enemy, being a Panther, he's one of the toughest dudes out there. The well-documented three knee surgeries and everything else he's had to go through. Plays with pain. He's just a leader. And I think there's a void. I think they try to gloss over it. We're still a relatively young team. You know, I think Bruce Irvin is a quiet kind of guy, but he brings some toughness to the team. You know, the year that we went in and we brought in from the Colts, the pass rusher, Dwight Freeney. Thanks, Squid. I went brain dead. We brought in Dwight Freeney. That was a nice veteran presence to have in this locker room. I don't know if you can afford it. I don't know if you can even have a chance for the guy to make the team because he is 35, Carl. But, I mean, if you want to look for an X factor, that doesn't hurt to have a guy like that in your operation.
Yeah. More about that as well. Before we get to headlines, Steve Sarkisian, you're wondering where he might pop up. Sources are saying that he has spoken with the Cardinals about their offensive coordinator position and the Lions, Mike. So, Sark, again, trying to stick around the NFL. Now, some people thought he might go back to the college ranks. He's trying to stick around the NFL.
To be quite honest, I mean, like, we've talked about this for guys who missed the show last week. You actually did a nice job with the limitations of a really bad offensive line that could not run the ball. You got Matt Ryan nearly 5,000 yards and 35 touchdowns. I mean, for some people out there with a nice balanced attack, he could probably guess what? Now he's got 2 years of NFL experience. He's learned it. You know, I mean, I don't think now in hindsight we fault him as much as we did at the end of 17, although I still think Dan Quinn screwed up by bringing a guy that had no experience at the time.
Sark's going to end up back in the NFL somewhere.
We wish him well. He's been nothing. Hey, you. I don't think you can argue with – yes, I think like we said about Chaney yesterday, right? Every offensive coordinator is a fan. You're going to have a beef or you're going to have something you're complaining about. But, I mean, why were we so finesse on short yardage? Because your offensive line can't get it. That's why.
All right, man. Let's get to headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
That kind of freaked Bo out. Bo's used to be going, let's hit some headlines. Yeah, I was just contemplating what Mike was saying. I was thinking about it, and I just simply said, let's hit some headlines. Sorry, Bo, I disappointed you there. Let's start first with the Falcons. Mike, they make a move that you said, I hope he hires somebody to do this. We thought it might be somebody that he just hired. It's actually somebody that's been with the organization. Kyle Flood, guys, is now going to handle clock management and replays for our Atlanta Falcons.
Kyle, in that role, will certainly assist me in a number of those areas in our preparation and in-game as well, including replay, including game and, you know, some clock things. That'll be a big part of his role for sure.
He did a conference call. That's Dan Quinn with the media today. Mike, is he listening to us? And I say us, generally speaking. This is what people, Falcon fans, have been talking about.
You know, you got to have one of those guys on your staff, especially when Dan Quinn, remember, let's take it back to 16. And I apologize for being snarky. I couldn't resist. I tried not to, Carl, but I said, boy, we could have used a guy like this with 4 minutes and 40 seconds left in Super Bowl 51. Because when Dan Quinn is so focused on defense, remember, he took over for Richard Smith that year. And remember, total autonomy for Kyle Shanahan upstairs calling the plays. Nobody, in hindsight, would you agree with me, with their eye on the big picture?
Mm-mm, no.
So, yes, we do need a guy like that for sure.
All right, and if you're wondering, which I'm sure you are, this guy has been a part of our staff. Kyle Flood's been with us. He's been the assistant offensive line coach. But this is an elevated move. We're talking about not only clock management strategies, challenges, timeouts. All of this stuff now falls into the realm of what Kyle Flood is going to be handling within a game. Remember, Quinn is going to be doing exactly what Mike said, running the defense. So you can't be on the bench running defensive meetings and trying to make adjustments in a game and be worrying about challenges and all this other stuff.
Right. And a lot of, you know, you're seeing a lot more compartmentalization in the NFL. You do have guys that want to be the show and run everything and run every aspect of it. But, you know, for instance, the way the Broncos are going to be running, right, with Vic Fangio on the defense, and you're going to have Kubiak on the offensive side. You know, you see with Wade Phillips, he's running the defense. When the defense is on the field, you know, you see it. Sean McVay's over there talking with his quarterback and his offensive line. So that's maybe the trend now in the NFL, in addition to hiring boy band guys.
It is Dukes and Bell. Last night, the Hawks come up short. But before we get to that, I want you to hear Dan Quinn talking about hiring former head coaches as coordinators, because it seems like this was the trend, at least with what he wanted to do.
Experience, for sure, it's a factor, but there's usually something else there that goes with it. In Mike's regard, you know, like the excellence that he's shown in the run game and the toughness that his teams have played with. In Dirk's case, yeah, he's got plenty of experience, but it was the explosive nature and how they did, the similarities and how they attack, and a very clear vision of how to utilize our personnel in that same way. Experience, yes. Contrarian, yes. But at the end of the day, you know, what will this person style and attitude bring to the team?
You know, we talked about this as the season wound down, and I think it was 2016. We had 17, I want to remember the number, 17 or 18, Mike, explosive plays over 25 yards or more,
right,
that ultimately led to scores. And that number dwindled, you know, over the last couple of seasons with Sark. That was part of the something we missed, especially with our star players. Now, this year you saw Calvin Ridley make a lot of those plays, and we're going to let you hear what Calvin had to say about Coach Quinn coming up at 5 in the Falcon Report. But to his credit, and I'm talking about Coach Quinn here, talking about, you know, Dirk Cutter, those explosive plays, I do expect that stuff to come back. That's what Tampa did a lot of this year.
And, well, you know, the thing about Dirk, guys, he knows the vertical passing game. So the things that you saw this year without the benefit of a running game, Dirk's going to want to do that even when you got a running game. I mean, he's a guy that's one thing we all wanted to see when he got hired, when we moved on from Mularkey. Remember taking calls for people saying Mularkey was too conservative, too stale. And then Dirk was going to definitely take the ball down the field. And now you got all the weapons to do it. So, yeah, that's exciting, man. And certainly in this league, you've got to have it. And look at some of these playoff games and the explosive play, getting down the field in a bunch.
Well, think about Kansas City. It's like they lived on those, right?
Right.
All season. Now, they've got a guy that makes plays with his leg in the pocket and Patrick Mahomes, but he also has a cannon. But they lived off of those explosive plays. I just think that's an element, a part of our offense, on top of getting free back, right, that we've got to get back to teams fearing us, taking them over the top and making those kind of plays. Moving on to the Hawks, man. Last night, they run out of gas. Not my words, the words of Lloyd Pierce, our head coach.
I think we came out with the momentum from last night's game, a lot of energy, a lot of ball movement, a lot of pace, attacking downhill, and then we just ran out of gas in the second quarter is where it started. It looks like the second half, but it really started in the second quarter.
Now, if you're not paying attention to John Collins, and again,
boy, oh boy.
Yeah, Mike and I are not caught up in the wins and losses. We want development of our players. Collins, Mike, last night, 30 and 14 boards. That's a monster game.
Man, he's doing it almost every night. So, again, guys, we've been trying to get folks to, you know, jam that a ballot box, stuff the ballot box for John Collins, because he certainly deserves consideration for the All-Star team. He is the best Hawk right now. Trae Young, again, the three-point was kind of a mystery last night. I look at Trae, and I'm waiting to see a little bit more defense. Or maybe that's just never going to be part of his game. But if you're not going to do that, at least can you bomb me threes and give me some high percentage on those shots, the outside shots?
17 points, 7 assists for Trae last night, but 2 of 9 from beyond the arc, as Mike is talking about. Here's Lloyd Pierce talking about Collins and being physical, you know, as a part of his growth.
That's just part of his growth, just being physical, being dominant, trying to find easy opportunities when they switch or have a smaller guy on them. But a great start for him, a great overall, you know, numbers game for him.
Yeah, it really was. Hawks lose to the Nets, 116-100. Alex Anthopoulos came on this radio station this morning on the morning show with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. They asked him a variety of things. You'll hear that interview in its entirety at 420. But, Mike, you asked me in the bullpen today, what do I think about Craig Kimball? Listen, when he was here and we traded him away, my philosophy of where our team was at that particular point and what I thought we could do to maybe tweak some things,
right,
was not the vision of the Braves. And so they ended up trading him away. What does he do? Well, he goes and, you know, was kind of lost in obscurity out there in San Diego, but obviously ends up with the Red Sox, Mike. Is he a guy you want to bring back for $15 million or more? Because I think that's what it's going to cost.
You trust him over Vizcaino right now? You trust Vizcaino?
I trust Kimbrel over Vizcaino.
I mean, Vizcaino is supposed to be the closer. The guy we wanted was Diaz, the guy from the Mariners. They traded to the Mets. That was the guy that would have made everything right. And we don't know what the ask was. It might have been too rich, maybe too much prospects you weren't prepared to give away. But Kimbrel, he just looks so shaky in the postseason. I mean, what else can you say unless you thought the Red Sox, wore his arm out? He did not have – I mean, they were teeing off on him in both the divisional playoff, the ALCS, and the World Series.
Yeah, he was not as dominant as you would hope that he would be. Here's Alex Anthopoulos on our morning show talking about possibly signing him.
I feel confident in saying that. Any player that has been traded or any player that's available in trade, we've certainly checked in. We've most likely had discussions. We're still active on the trade front. In terms of free agents, guys like Craig and so on, I can't tell you how well-regarded and well-respected he is in this organization. We have a chance to add an elite-level starter, elite-level bullpen guy at a contract we think makes sense and works for us with the rest of our team. We're going to do it.
Okay. I'm curious to see what happens between now and spring training and if they can pull off another deal.
They've reshuffled the scouting department. Mm-hmm. We talked about that yesterday at the end of the show. I mean, I'm just wondering, is the Bryce Harper thing just completely dead? Is there any shot for that? Because, Carl, you could argue some of the bigger ticket pitching items are gone. So you're going to be doing it looking for an innings eater like an Anibal Sanchez. It's not like you could get Harper would preclude you from doing some of the other things you'd like to do.
Are you surprised that Harper has not been signed already?
Well, as a Braves fan, if you don't want Harper, you want to see him here 13, 14 times a year with the Phillies?
No.
That's where he's probably going.
We're talking college football with Bruce Feldman next. It is Dukes and Bell. We wanted to get a guy on to talk some college football and knows his stuff. He is, of course, a reporter for Fox Sports, FS1, a writer for The Athletic as well. If you don't follow him on Twitter, do so. Bruce Feldman joining us. It's Bruce Feldman, CFB. And Bruce, let's start with the news of Kyler Murray, because Mike and I started the show talking about this, and a lot of people are going, oh, the kid's making the wrong decision. First and foremost, we don't even know where he is projected, or do we? Is this a top 10 pick in this year's draft?
That would surprise me if he went that high. Obviously, a lot of people are reacting to a video from a couple of months ago of Cliff Kingsbury, the new Cardinals coach, talking about him if he had the first round pick, the first overall pick. I mean, who thought that scenario would play out that way? But let's keep in mind that sometimes college coaches say a lot hyperbole when they're about to face somebody. It's a lot different than the place that just hired them investing a fortune in a guy like that and putting a precious number one overall pick on Kyler Murray. I think I could see somebody drafting him somewhere in the first round. The part that would surprise me is if he went with the first overall pick, yes, he followed up Baker Mayfield in that Lincoln Riley system. But I think that as talented as he is, as talented as Murray is, there's a couple of things that I think need to be pointed out. One, unlike Baker Mayfield, he only really played one season. We don't have a huge amount of, a huge body of work here, whereas Baker Mayfield played three seasons, at least, in the Big 12 at Oklahoma and even at Texas Tech, whereas Murray played just a little bit at A&M and then a little bit as a backup before breaking out this year. The other thing is, and people are talking about how, you don't need to be 6'3 or 6'4 to be an NFL quarterback anymore, and certainly Mayfield went first overall, proved that. But the difference between Mayfield, and I would say also put Russell Wilson in this, is you had guys who are thick, almost built like running backs, especially Russell Wilson, whereas Kyler Murray's not only short, but he's also small, and I think there's probably will be some concerns about his durability at maybe 5'9.5", 5'10", maybe 185, 190 pounds. I mean, he's not as big a guy. And so I think I'll be surprised if he goes number one overall. I think that he's intriguing. But again, to me, I would look at a guy like Dwayne Haskins, who has a big arm, 6'3", 225, hasn't also played a ton,
right,
but is much bigger in stature and I think looks like what you're expecting. A first overall, a top five quarterback prospect to look like.
It's Bruce Feldman with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. I mean, Drew Locke has got all the prototypical size and arm strength you want, but he's never really won anything impressive for Missouri. So getting back to Kyler Murray, does he go to he's going to have to wow some general managers at the combine?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would even not just be at the combine. I think it would be in the interview process and feel like, okay, this is the guy we believe can be a franchise-changing quarterback. Because that's what you're talking about if you're taking a guy in the top five. It's one thing to take somebody, you know, late in the first round. It's another thing to really, you know, invest that way as opposed to trading out that pick. I mean, Drew Lock put up big numbers. It's worth noting that he played in a bunch of different systems. I mean, he's a really good all-around athlete. I think people maybe don't realize that this was a high-level Division I basketball recruit as well. You know, to me, Haskins is clearly the top guy. His arm is terrific. He anticipates well, makes every kind of throw. He hasn't played as much as Drew Lock, but I think he would be a very desirable pick if a team is looking for a quarterback. After that, I feel like it's a lot more of a crapshoot, whether it's Drew Lock or a guy like Jarrett Stidham, who's talented but played in a sputtering offense at Auburn. Will Greer, who I think is good. I'm not sure if anyone looks at him as a great first-round talent. And then, obviously, you know, you put Kyler Murray in there, who's kind of a more of a wild card because of his physical size and also because of the baseball part of it with him with that contract with the A's.
Bruce, a couple of weeks ago, I read a tweet from Tate Martell, formerly of Ohio State, that read, it was one of those subtweets, Bruce. You know what I'm talking about. It said something to the effect of, don't swing and miss, especially your second time around. And everybody down here in Georgia went, oh, he's talking about Justin. And now Justin's on his way to Ohio State. Tate Martell now is in the portal. What do you make of this story today? Because for us, we said Justin Fields doesn't go to Ohio State without reassurances that he's going to play.
Yeah, look, I think one thing is a little subplot into that is Justin Fields, one of the private quarterback coaches he worked with this offseason was Quincy Avery, who's an Atlantic guy, who also had Deshaun Watson in that group, and the other guy he had in there was Dwayne Haskins. And so I think Justin Fields had a really good read on what was going on in Ohio State through his relationship with Dwayne Haskins and how that dynamic was going to work, as well as, you know, what's it like to play for Ryan Day as a quarterback. And so I think he kind of, you know, had some really good intel on that. Tate Martell is a guy who is a talented dual threat quarterback. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but he'd also bounced around in the recruiting process. And by all accounts, he really liked the recruiting process. And I think he was going to be a challenge for probably somebody, just because there are certain kids who come up in this kind of five-star recruiting environment who I think you see them commit and decommit and kind of, it doesn't mean they're bad people or anything like that. It seems like the focus gets kind of scattershot, and it, also in the social media, you know, realm of this part, as you said, I mean, I don't want to say it came back to bite Tate Martell, but people are holding up his tweets and his words from before and going, hey, this is, you know, this doesn't line up with where you want to be or what's a team going to get going forward. So it's a very curious dynamic that it kind of has come full circle or at least done a 180 in less than like 3 weeks. I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of emblematic of what I think is this little five-star subculture that you get attached to sometimes in recruiting. And it's probably even more of a head-scratcher for coaches when it involves a quarterback who's got to be the face of the program. And I don't doubt that Tate Martell will have a lot of suitors going forward. I mean, he is talented, but I think there's going to be some other parts of this that may give people a lot of pause if you're bringing them on your program and expect them to be a leader and where that goes going forward.
From FS1 Guys and also with The Athletic, it's Bruce Feldman with us here on Dukes and Bell. Follow him at Bruce Feldman CFB on Twitter as we're talking about what's essentially now college football free agency with the transfers. Hey, bringing it back to Georgia, Chaney goes up to Tennessee. He had signed a contract extension that was kept quiet. James Coley is the odds-on favorite to be the OC. What do you make of what Georgia's doing with the reshuffle?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I thought Chaney did a really nice job. His relationship with the O-line coach there, Sam Pittman, I think was integral in their success. And, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm happy with that hire. I know Chaney had been there before under Lane Kiffin and stayed on longer. He's a reliable, good, you know, offensive mind who's developed some good players. The part that I don't know what Georgia's going to do is you have two coordinator jobs open. There's a lot of talent around there. I'm interested to see what Kirby Smart does there, because on the offensive side of the ball, you have some places that have some big offensive coordinator vacancies around too. And so I think you're going to see some people have to roll the dice on guys who may not have never been play callers, but, you know, in the interview process, people feel confident about them. So, you know, this is, it's not just Georgia who has an open OC job. Miami's one. There's a few others I heard that are looking that may not, quote unquote, be open. So it's going to be an interesting case of musical chairs, I think, over the next, you know, week or two.
Bruce, guys ask me the question all the time about Brent Venables at Clemson. Why isn't he trying to be a head coach? And I always say, well, he makes head coaching money.
Right.
And he's in a really good spot. Are you surprised that he has not left yet? And do you expect him to now that they won another national championship?
I don't miss his. I mean, his son plays for him now there. And I think that he's been pretty upfront about, I think he has a good read on the situation of he likes working for Dabo Swinney. He likes the culture that they have there. Obviously, it's working at an extremely high level. As you said, he's making head coach money. It's going to take a lot. I think it's quite honestly going to take the perfect situation to get him to leave. I mean, he had the opportunity to go be the head coach at his alma mater, K-State. From what I understand, he didn't. He could have had that. He didn't want it. He could have probably gotten to work for one of his best friends, who's the AD at Texas Tech. He didn't want that either. I think he's going to be really, really choosy. I mean, perhaps if Lincoln Riley down the road decides to go be an NFL head coach, I could think Joe Castiglione, the AD, would have to give Brent Venables a lot of consideration about bringing him back to Oklahoma. But short of a huge job like that, I'm not sure he's going to just take some other job that a lot of people think would be a good first-time job. I think his perspective on it's different, and it's hard to knock. I mean, you know, I talked to him immediately after the game. He did not look like a guy who had thoughts on being someplace else. He's really comfortable in the moment, and I think that, you know, for certain guys, and it's rare, I think they put the premium on what their situation is over just the end game of being a college football head coach anywhere and just getting their foot in the door.
Bruce Feldman with his guys from Fox Sports 1 and The Athletic breaking down college football. It looks like Clemson's world, Bruce, and we're all living in it here. Florida State went and got Kendall Briles to be the OC, so they're turning it around. Manny Diaz in Miami. Virginia Tech still just not really doing much anything special. Who's going to step up in the ACC and challenge Clemson anytime soon?
Oof. You know, if it's not Florida State, I don't know who it could be, because I think the gap between Clemson and everybody else just keeps widening. And if you don't think that recruits, and not just kids who are in 2019 class, if younger recruits didn't look at what they saw, Alabama getting blown off the field by Clemson like that, and all those young players around, I mean, look, all the guys who scored touchdowns in the game, both offensively and defensively for Clemson, are freshmen or sophomores. They're all coming back. So that's a scary thought, I think, with the rest of the ACC. Miami's got right now a real transformation. I mean, Manny Diaz is back, but they got to get the offensive side of the ball fixed. They got to get some momentum back in recruiting. At Florida State, I think Willie Taggart has a really good staff of recruiters, but he took over a situation there with Jimbo Fisher. People forget that they barely made a bowl game last year. So it wasn't going to be a quick fix. I think it's going to take some time. And then you look at the rest of the league, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's not a lot to get too excited about. Virginia had a nice finish of the season, but, you know, you look at that. I mean, Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech has a, I don't know if I would call it a massive rebuild, but it's just a shift that's so significant going from the way Paul Johnson ran things to the way Jeff Collins is going to run it. So I think it's going to be Clemson's for a while, and I just don't know who is the next team that looks like it could make a run at being a top 10 team consistently. My guess is it's Florida State, but they're a long way away from that right now.
Bruce, great information as always, man. Check him out. Read his stuff. Guys, he does a terrific job of covering college football for various outlets, including The Athletic. Bruce Feldman, we appreciate your time today. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, this Kyler Murray thing, and we'll continue to talk about it, but as Mike and I examine the upcoming NFL draft, and we've got plenty of time to get into it, this is a dominant defensive line draft. you're going to pass up a Nick Bosa or potentially an Ed Oliver or Quentin Williams in Alabama to go with Kyler Murray?
Well, let's hope as the Falcons are picking in the middle of the pack that a lot of teams take chances with more quarterbacks like last year, and hopefully good for us because we'll get one of those big defensive tackles you're talking about.
Coming up, NFL Blitz, guys. The Falcons make a move with the coaching staff. It's something that I think makes sense. We'll talk about it next.